Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Bless God. This is Minister Sir Ryan Davis with Grace and Truth Kingdom Ministries. And this is the Exalting Jesus broadcast here on the Now Network. All right. So we thank the Lord. I'm going to go ahead and enter in through prayer. And then I'm going to deliver this message. Hallelujah. I feel the anointing even now as I speak. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, we bless your name. We thank you for yet another time to manifest your glory, to manifest your truth. Hallelujah. To speak your word and spread your love to the nations, Lord God. Lord, we just ask that you would subdue every mind, subdue every heart, and bring it into the captivity of the obedience of Christ unto hearing and receiving instruction, Lord God. And as you cause us to hear your word, Lord God, your word will direct our steps. Your word will lead our life. Hallelujah, Lord God. It is through your word, Lord God, that all things were made, O God, and nothing was made without him. So we thank you for the living word, the person Jesus Christ, the blood that was shed on Calvary. We thank you and we praise you right now, Lord God, as we come together as one to partake of your grace and your goodness. It is not about any vessel, but it is about the goods that you have placed in every vessel. And Lord God, we pray that you would bring forth the good that is within each of us. Hallelujah. At the hearing of your word, let souls cleave to you, Father. Hallelujah. At the end of the day, that's what it's all about, is you and souls. Hallelujah. So I bless your holy name, Jesus. I thank you to be a partaker in the work of the kingdom. Hallelujah. In you, the promises of God are yea and amen. So we thank you for your precious promises that have given us all things. You have given us all things pertaining to life and godliness, Lord God. So we know that we are godly people and that you will take care of the things we need in this life. Hallelujah. And you've already gave us the promise of eternal life. So we thank you for your great, precious, and exceeding great promises, Lord God. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, hallelujah. Lord, you be magnified, you be glorified. Fill us up, Lord God, with more of you. More of your truth, more of your wisdom, more of your anointing, more of your spirit, more of your hope, more of your grace, more understanding, Lord God. We thank you. Hallelujah. For you are our all in all and you fill us all. Hallelujah. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, family, this is another segment of the Exalting Jesus broadcast. And lately I've been teaching on the renewing of the mind. The renewing of the mind is so vitally important because, listen, everything about the enemy is he's a spirit and he's in another dimension and he's illegal here. That's why he's called the prince of the power of the air, not the power of the earth. Now, in one particular place or a couple particular places in scripture, he's actually called the God of this world. With a lowercase g. The reason for that is because God placed man over this world and man gave up his dominion to the devil. So now the devil had become ruler. But Jesus has come and defeated him, but he didn't destroy him. So he's still something we've got to deal with. And in knowing that, we have to understand our minds have to be renewed because he's still considered the God of this world with a lowercase g. Meaning this, the people of this world that don't know the hope of Christ, they don't know the truth of Christ, then they are under the elements. They are under the spell of the prince of the air, the prince of the power of the air. So that word prince means ruler. So he rules powers that are in the air. He rules powers that are in the air. Okay? And the scripture says we battle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places and the rulers of the darkness of this world. Understand that word powers there means there's multiple types of powers that are in operation against humanity, not just against the body of Christ. They are against humanity because when God made man, he made man in his image and in his likeness. He gave man a charge to be over the works of his hands. So the devil has an envy towards man. Why? Because God said when he made man, he said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. If you go to Hebrews chapter 2, he says, at what time did God say that about any of the angels? So the angels were not made in the likeness of God or in the image of God. Okay? So there's a jealousy, an envy toward mankind because we have what he wanted. Satan got kicked out of heaven. Well, Lucifer got kicked out of heaven and become Satan because he wanted to be like the Most High. Then God turns around and makes man like the Most High. So we have to understand what we are up against. If you need a title for this message in the next few weeks, if the Lord leads that way, it's going to be, this is kingdom. Still under the umbrella of the Renewing of the Mind series. But now in this Renewing of the Mind, we're stepping into the This is Kingdom segment of it. This is kingdom. Let me explain why I say that, because that word has been echoing, or those words have been echoing for a number of days here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel fire. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Watch this. We have to be renewed in our mind, even in our understanding of what is and what is not kingdom, because the enemy has kingdoms. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Watch this. He has kingdoms that manifest in the earth. Watch this now. Pay close attention. So the kingdom of God is in heaven. But why did Jesus tell us pray for the kingdom to come? If the kingdom has to come, that means there are areas and territories that are ruled by other kingdoms. So we've got to now learn what kingdom is, that we may implement kingdom in the earth. Hallelujah. This is a real warfare that is going on. It's a real battle, and no man goes without counting the cost. So if you're on this line, if you're hearing me by way of radio and you're not saved, you're not delivered, you don't know God, or you don't understand kingdom, then you can get an understanding here, but don't go and try to do anything without hearing from the king first. Hallelujah. Everything about kingdom is this: king's dominion. That word kingdom means king, and then the dumb on kingdom comes from the word dominion or domain. A domain means a place of rulership. So this is the king's domain. So that means Jesus looks and he sees areas where there's other kings ruling that have no business ruling. Now, he already defeated the devil, but he didn't destroy him. So in many places on earth, we see his hand, his signature, his works in people. Hallelujah. But we have to know that God says it's all mine anyway. Psalms chapter 24, the Bible says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. So God takes complete ownership of everything and everybody. Yet, from the very beginning, he gave us something called free will. He gave free will unto man. He gave free will unto man. So man used his free will to exercise his own authority against what God told him. And in his dominion, it fell into the hands of the evil one. Understand something about dominion. God gave Adam dominion over all the earth. In chapter 1 of Genesis, it says God, G-O-D. In chapter 2 of Genesis, it says Lord God, L-O-R-D-G-O-D. And that's when the commandments on how the parameters of your dominion is set. See, what happens is we have a lot of people these days whose minds aren't renewed to understand kingdom. So they understand dominion and they're trying to go back to Eden. They're trying to do it as it was in chapter 1 of Genesis, not knowing you're going to meet the Lord God in chapter 2, who's going to tell you what you can and cannot do. But mankind has a sense of rebellion because it's born and bred in us through our forefather and our mother Eve. They both rebelled against God's commandments and decided to do their own thing. And this is how the devil became the ruler of the air and of parts of this world. But Jesus said, pray thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So in heaven, everything that rebels and rises up gets cast down to a lower level. There's no gods in heaven. There's one God in that heaven. But we have to understand there's more than one heaven. The Bible speaks of the third heavens, which is where God dwells. Okay, that's the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God is God's kingdom extended from heaven to earth, and everything in between is affected. And this is what causes warfare. Now, I want to read a verse of scripture real quick, a couple of verses. first one I want to read is where Paul wrote, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Find that real quick. He says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's in Ephesians 4:23. This is why repetition, sometimes with the word of God, comes forth and it's repetitious. Seems like, well, he's saying the same thing. We want something deeper. You got to get, it's not that you need something deeper. You need the foundational works and words deeper in you. Because when the devil comes, he's coming after the word. And if it's not deep down in your spirit, listen, if it's not deep enough in you, then he can sway you and have you in one of his kingdoms, thinking you in the kingdom of God because you're still using God's word and God's name. Don't you know the first thing the devil's going to use to deceive you is the word of God? So you got to get the true rhema down in your belly. So repetition is like God hammering his word to renew the spirit of your mind. Watch this. When the enemy comes, he's coming after the word. So you got to have a firm foundation. Jesus said, the man that hears my sayings, that's his word, and doeth them, he's like the wise man that built his house upon a rock. That's a foundation. He said, but the foolish man heard and did not do. And he's like the man that built his house on the sand. Both got a house. Same kind of house. Windows and walls and doors and carpets and a roof. But you can't tell what's kingdom until the storm comes. You can't tell what's going to stand, glory, until the storm hits. Hallelujah. When the storm hits, then it proves. Now, what Jesus said about both of those men, he said the storm came and the winds blew and the floods came and one house stood and one house did not stand. Both houses experienced the same calamity. You can be in the kingdom of God and trouble going to find you quickly. You can be outside the kingdom of God and trouble will find you eventually. It finds you eventually because the devil will let you go so far on that wrong road. Watch this. All right, watch this. So God will allow the word to come in repetition because he wants to grow roots down in you. You see, a seed, when you plant a seed, it grows downward first, deep down. If it don't go deep enough, then you can do something to the outside part once it starts standing up over the ground. You can take that sprout and pull it out of the ground and all the roots come up with it. But you get something that's been under the ground for a minute. It's been there for a long time, and it's just growing. And you understand, you see a tree, a palm tree, for example, it can weather the hurricane. It'll bend all the way back, but you don't see palm trees flying around like you see all these other trees flying around when hurricanes and tornadoes hit. They bend all the way to the ground, but when the storm is over, they stand back up. Why? Because a palm tree has roots under the ground twice as tall as the palm tree above the ground. See, what happens is, people don't want to deal with the internal stuff enough to really understand kingdom. But Jesus declared, he says, the kingdom comes not with observation. He says, the kingdom of God is in you. Watch this. The kingdom of God comes prepackaged with the Holy Ghost. When you get filled with the Holy Ghost, then God put his kingdom inside of you. That means his stuff is in you. And don't nobody see it. Don't nobody see it, but it's there. And eventually, it's going to bring manifestation to all areas of your life. Everyone you connected with is going to know. They're going to have kingdom. It's going to influence them. Not you influence them. It will influence them. If we're influencing people, then we may be led by another spirit. But when the kingdom is doing the influencing, then all we can see is God's work manifested in the earth. Hallelujah. Watch this. He says in Ephesians 4:23, he says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Kingdom, watch this. Your mind takes on the spirit of what it's saturated in. It's either saturated in the word of God, or the world. Just add an L to the word, and now you got a world. But we're going to take away the L. We're not taking no losses. This is kingdom. Watch this. Watch this. So he says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Renewed. Renewed. That means you got to constantly renew it. That means you got to hammer in the word. This is why the word keeps coming the same way week after week. It's not that we can't go into the mysteries and expound the deep things of God, but God want a foundation in some people because, listen, there's some mysteries and some deep things that are coming upon this earth because people don't understand kingdom, and the kingdoms of this world are beginning to form into a kingdom, which is Antichrist. So we're going to see some deep things in days to come or years to come, however soon God allows it. And you got to make sure you on that foundation. You got to make sure your spirit man is right. He says in the spirit of your mind. That means your mind will take on the spirit of either the word or the world. How do we know which one we're in? Well, go up one verse. He says that ye put off, this is verse 22, concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts. We think about lust, we always think about sex. It's not always about sex. Lust is anything you desire that's deceptive. It's of this world. It could be power, money, prestige, people, connections, all of those things. He's saying, hey, that will deceive you because you desire that. But listen, put off the former conversation. That means I can't talk about how good I had it when I was in sin. And how, listen, you might have, listen, the children of Israel got out in the wilderness and they wanted to go back to Egypt. They said, man, we ate better with the leeks and the onions and the garlic and the cloves. But you was a slave. You was in bondage. I'd rather be free with little eating manna than in bondage to Egypt eating good. Moses had to, the Bible says he chose to suffer with the affliction with the people of God rather than the pleasure of sin for a season in Egypt. Hallelujah. So we got to put off the old conversation. That means we're no longer immersed in the world, but in Christ now, because this is kingdom. Watch this. Watch this. So after he tells us to be renewed in the spirit of our mind, the spirit of your mind, your mind needs a spirit. Understand there's a of your mind. So it's not just your mind. See, we always talk about the renewing of the mind. We talk about this brain and this, but there's a spirit. Listen, the brain is flesh. When the body dies, the brain dies. But there's a spirit. We call it consciousness. That's you. That's your inner person, that inner working. I told you before, there's three parts of a man. Really, there's four, and I'll go into the makeup of a human being before this message is over, if the Holy Spirit allows. But there's four parts of a person: the body, soul, spirit, and conscience. Not conscious, but conscience. There's a difference between your conscience and your consciousness. They sound alike, but they're different. They have different functions. But your mind needs a spirit. So what happens is you're either going to be led by the Spirit of God or you're going to be led by the spirit of the world. This is kingdom. Hallelujah. Watch this. Jesus met a man, a centurion man. He was a soldier. Okay. And he came to Jesus and he asked Jesus to speak the word and send the word to his house. Okay, and Jesus began to marvel at this man's faith, because this man sat there and he told Jesus, he said, just speak the word only and my servant shall be healed. I'm trying to find that particular place in scripture. I believe it's in Matthew chapter 8. Okay, yeah, so it's Matthew 8:8. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I feel fire. Glory to God. Let me go up to verse number six. And saying, Lord, well, actually, I'm going to go up to verse 5. And when Jesus came, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. This is Jesus telling this man who's a soldier, I'll come to your house and do this work. But watch this. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And Jesus heard it, and he marveled, and he said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. Watch this. This man has so much faith, he understood kingdom. He understood authority, because he was a man of authority, under authority. So he was not only in authority, but he had authority over him. This is kingdom. Watch this. This is going to help get your mind renewed to understand what God is doing in the earth and in our times, and how he's even implementing the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom of God for the renewing of the mind and the salvation of the soul and the cleansing and purifying of the heart, how he's doing it in this hour. He's doing things the way they haven't been done before, because he's a mighty God. Watch this. And he knows how to cover ground. He knows, oh glory, how to take ground. Hallelujah. Watch this. Bless the name of the Lord. This man says to Jesus, I'm not worthy for you to come to my house. He has faith, though. He knows who Jesus is. He recognizes authority. I'm gonna hit on that in a minute. Watch this. This man recognizes authority. Watch this. He tells Jesus, send your word only. In other words, he compares the word of Jesus to his word when he tells a soldier, go and do it, they do it. He said, I got soldiers under me. If I tell them go, they go. So I know your word if you speak. Watch this. This man understood something about Jesus that the people that he came for did not. That's why he says, I ain't found this kind of faith in Israel. The people that he come to, they don't even understand this power that he possesses. They don't understand kingdom. But this man here, he has an understanding of kingdom. So he tells Jesus, send your word, and the word gonna make it happen. And Jesus marveled. You understand that it takes faith to please God. Watch this. So Jesus sends his word. And of course, in that same hour, his servant was healed, okay? And Jesus began to rebuke them later on about, you know, about their faith and letting them know that many are going to come from the east and the west. He's talking about the Gentiles. He's letting the Jews know, y'all are the ones that it was for, but y'all can't believe God, so it's going to be somebody else going to get it. That's what he's basically telling the Israel. Now, he didn't cut them all off, but the unbelieving part, yeah, they, you know, the church, because of their unbelief, the church is now, you know, extended to the nations of the world. And this is why the gospel of the kingdom has to go to all the ends of the earth before he turns back to Israel. Now, we see certain things happening in our world and in the news and in politics beginning to cause certain scriptures to be fulfilled concerning Israel. So Israel is still God's people. But he's letting them know that if you don't believe, you don't get no pass just because you're an Israelite. So all these folk running around talking about, I'm a true Israelite, it don't make no difference. You got to be born again. I don't care if you are Hebrew blood. You still got to be born again if you're going to see this kingdom. Hallelujah. Watch this. So this man tells Jesus in his word. This is why this type of ministry is powerful in God's eyes. Why God can do certain things in the earth through a ministry where you send in the word. You just send in the word. But it's all based on faith. This is why God can send the word. If you can believe it and receive it at the hearing of the voice of the prophet, then you can get your healing. You can get your miracle simply by the word being sent. Hallelujah. We always want to be sent, you know, but sometimes God just wants you to send the word because of the times, because of, listen, the availability. We have the availability to reach people now with the word that we can't reach with our hands. You know, they told me many years ago, you're a prophet to the nations. I'm thinking, I'm a prophet to the nations. I didn't want that. They told me that many times. And you know, I haven't been all over the world, but my voice has been heard many places because this is kingdom. So this is what God is doing in this hour. He's given us the ability through the technologies to allow the kingdom to be heard, because faith comes by hearing by the word of God. So you got to have a word from God. Can't be concocted word of your own flesh, thoughts, your own interpretation, a private interpretation, but it has to be the Holy Ghost to bring forth a word. Hallelujah. Watch this. This is kingdom. God has to trust us for us to really understand the implementation of his kingdom. He said, pray for it to come on earth as it is in heaven. Watch this. So when you deal with the airwaves, since this is a radio broadcast type thing, you have to understand we're coming up against the powers that are in the air. So there's going to be some warfare. Now, this man understood authority. I want to say something on authority real quick. In the kingdom of God, we have an issue. And the issue is this. Often we don't understand something. It's a couple things demons understand that we don't. Demons understand unity. They understand authority. Okay? They understand possession. Often the people of the kingdom don't. And a lot of it is due to not being taught certain things. You know, we get taught the foundation and then that's it. We never build. The foundation has to be strong, yes, indeed. But then we've got to go on to perfection, to build. He says that he gives us the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, the whole fivefold for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry. So at some point, the perfection is there. We've got to start doing the work of the ministry. One work, one ministry. He doesn't say works of ministries and visions. He says the work of the ministry, Ephesians 4:11. Okay, 4:12. So God gives us this for the work. We got to get the work done. This is kingdom. It's not about me, you, he, she, her, him, them, us, we. It's all about all of us, but one God at the top of it. That's Jesus. So it's really the work of kingdom. The kingdom. All right, watch this. When Satan talks, he talks kingdoms. When he offered Jesus, he says, if you bow down before me, he showed him all the kingdoms of this world. With an S on the end of it, kingdoms, plural. He showed him all those kingdoms because at that time he was ruling this world without any inhibition. Nothing was inhibiting him. Now Jesus comes and takes the authority, takes the keys of hell and death as well, and gives keys to the kingdom to his apostles. Teaches us how, as the people of God, to implement the kingdom of God in the earth. But we still see the kingdoms of darkness flourishing. Why? Because people don't understand the kingdom of God. They're not being taught the kingdom. They're not being taught how to really apprehend and take authority at the leading of the Spirit of God. We have to always do it by the leading of the Spirit of God. You can't take authority where God hasn't given you authority. That's called usurping, and it's illegal. But when God gives you authority, when God gives you a mandate, when God gives you a charge, when you are connected to the kingdom, when the kingdom is now speaking in you, then the thing is done and it's done right. Watch this. You see, there's a taking of authority that leads to lost battles. But then there's a giving of authority that says, because you are meek, you will inherit the earth. Watch this. Let me get back on this thing about authority. So demons understand authority. They understand unity. And possession. How we know this? When Jesus dealt with the demoniac in the land of Gadarenes, he was the demoniac. He was possessed by legions of demons. Legions. Jesus asked the man, he says, what is thy name? And the demon spoke and said, Legion, for we are many. They spoke in one voice. Many said one thing. Many. Why? Understand something about a legion. A legion is a battalion or a platoon of soldiers, okay? It's a group of soldiers consisting of between 2,000 and 6,000, depending on what time era you use that word legion, what country you were dealing with. A legion was generally between 2,000 and 6,000 troops, okay? So legion was many, but yet they had one objective, possess this man. Their objection was to possess this one man. But you got to understand just how powerful God made man. If thousands of demons possessed one person, yet he had enough strength to run and bow before Jesus and worship him. He had enough strength that the Bible says that he would cut himself and throw himself in the water and in the fire. Many times they tried to kill him, but couldn't. So you got to understand just how much power is already in you. So imagine what happens once you get the Holy Ghost. And once you get clean, you got power to withstand wickedness. Now, The Legion understood authority because they take their cues from their masters. There are rulers of darkness. There are principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and spiritual wickedness in high places, which is where you deal with the really high ranking archangels of the darkness, which is Satan himself and his few, his elite. But under that you have the rulers, which are over countries, over waterways. And then you have under that you have the powers, okay, which are like governing authorities. Understand how that works. Like you can have a regional prince, but then he has somebody he's taking orders from that is like you can have a district, like you in corporate America, you have district managers, then over them you have regional managers, then over them you have your vice presidents and stuff, and then over that you have your corporate level where CEOs and the presidents, the top level. So it's the same kind of breakdown hierarchy. Demons understand authority. They understand law and order. And often in the church, we don't. So they understand unity because they said with one voice, we are many. They said, we are many. They didn't argue, well, now my name is murder. Now my name is jealousy. My name is hatred. My name is envy. They didn't go through all of that. Although all that probably was going on in this man's heart and mind, they didn't go through all that. They just simply said, we are one. But they responded to one command when Jesus commanded the unclean spirit to come out. So all those many were as one spirit. So this is how the kingdom of darkness works as one, although they are many. Now, if we can figure that out in the church and do it for God and understand kingdom, how much more will we accomplish? But what happens is we don't understand rank and order, law and order. See, these demons, they don't transgress rank. This is why Jesus has the authority to cast them out. This is why we have the authority to cast them out, to command them, to take authority, even regional authority. When God anoints and says and appoints, hallelujah, we have authority. Watch this. This is kingdom. So the enemy understands law and order. This man, he's not a Jew. He's not even saved. He's telling Jesus, I ain't even worthy to be talking to you. I definitely don't want you in my house. In other words, there's some activity at my house that if you go in there, you're gonna have to clean house. And I ain't ready to give that up, but I still need this healing for my servant. This is what the man basically saying. He had enough faith in Jesus to ask him and to be honest with him about where he was at. Like, look, I'm not worthy. But he understood that authority and rank and order. And he understood I'm a man of authority and I got people under me. But he also understood I got people over me. Now, in the kingdom, we've got to become the same mindset. This is kingdom. How do we get to that point? We have to be able to recognize authority when it shows up. This man was a man of authority, but he recognized authority when it showed up. Watch this. Sometimes authority is going to show up and not tell you who it is. Watch this now. In Mark chapter 8, Jesus, he begins to talk to his disciples, and he asked them in verse 27, who do men say that I am? Some didn't recognize it, okay? It says, and they answered, John the Baptist, but some say Elias, and others one of the prophets. So they knew he was some type of a prophet, but they didn't really know who he was. So he asked in verse 29, he says, and who saith, and he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Peter answered and said unto him, thou art the Christ. But watch this. Here's the kicker. Here's the key. Pay real close attention. Verse number 30 says, and he charged them that they should tell no man. Why is Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, the highest office you can obtain to is sonship? But here he is, the Son of God, and he tells them, don't tell nobody. Why would Jesus do that? Why would he say to keep it a secret? Because everybody's got to get a revelation of authority. See, this is, we cannot force honor. It's not honor when it's forced. We cannot force understanding and revelation of authority. It has to be given. But it's going to help the kingdom flourish when we understand there's only one king. We understand that. But then he has delegates, ambassadors. This is what the fivefold really is all about. Unfortunately, many don't even understand that. They got it a little bit twisted. But I'll digress on that today. Now, Jesus, here he is. He's King. He's God. He's Lord. He's Son of God. He's the Christ, the Anointed One. And he tells them, see that you tell no man. Don't tell nobody. Why? Because they got to get their own revelation. And when they do, they're going to bow. See, the demoniac in the land of Gadarene, he had a revelation. Them demons already knew that power showed up. So they start crying out, please don't torment us before our time. They know their time. They know authority. The man also recognized, although this what is fighting me is great enough to possess me, and look how many it took to do that, but he realized, although this is greater than me, there's something greater that I perceive in the area. There's something greater than what's fighting me in the area, and I got to get to it. Hallelujah. So he runs and bows at the feet of Jesus, and Jesus begins to cast those demons out of him. Hallelujah. Now, we have power and authority as kingdom citizens. If you are born again, if you are a child of God, if you confess Jesus as your Lord with your heart, believed it, if you've been baptized into his Holy Spirit, if you receive his life in you and his DNA in you, then you have power and authority. It doesn't mean you are of a rank and order, but you have power and authority over the elements of this world, over the rulers and the spirits that are against you. But you still got to have your instruction from the King, from the commander, which is Jesus. That means you got to have a relationship with him. Hallelujah. Watch this. This is kingdom. Oftentimes we go through things in our life and we can't understand why certain things, why there's lack. But the word of God declares, beloved, that we should seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added. So seeking brings addition. It's that simple. It's not striving. It's not doing your thing. It's not your connections. It's not what they can bring. It's not what they can speak or say over you. It's your seek that's going to determine your abundance. Watch this. Sometimes the Lord allows lack to come in to strengthen our seek. If the seek brings addition, then the lack of seek brings subtraction. Hallelujah. But God is a God of his word. If we seek first the kingdom, so this is why he wants to speak to us about kingdom today, because somewhere many of us, if we be honest, we lose focus. It's easy to lose focus when stuff on the ground ain't working right. But we have to seek something above ground, above the ground, above the heavens. We have to seek the kingdom, that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That means I got to know what heaven is saying. I got to know what heaven wants to implement on earth, not what I desire, not what some of these off prophets are telling you. No, what is God saying? Hallelujah. What is God saying? That means I got to go get in his face. Hey, glory. Receive a rhema word. Hallelujah. And then obey. Hallelujah. Watch this. I'm almost done. This is kingdom. So I said the demons, they understand unity. Point where there are divisions in the kingdoms of in the kingdom of darkness. This is why Satan has kingdoms. When he offers you something, he's always talking about multiple kingdoms. When God speaks, he speaks of one kingdom. He's not speaking of kingdoms. You got to take over this kingdom and that kingdom. No, he says, implement my kingdom, and it's going to fill the whole earth and all the rest of these kingdoms at the appointed time. So important we understand that at the appointed time, all the kingdoms of this world are going to become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ. Okay, so at this time, we still see the kingdom of darkness. And you've got to make sure your mind is renewed, that you're not flowing into any of those kingdoms, because the things of this world are the things of this world. So the spirit of the world will saturate your mind with the things of the world, but the word of God will saturate your mind with the word of God. Then you will know what's kingdom and what's not. You will discern between the spirit of error and the spirit of truth. Hallelujah. This is kingdom. Watch this. Why am I saying this is kingdom? Because God wants us to know what kingdom really is, to know how to operate in it. Listen, it's really not about things of this world. There's a day where we're going to live like kings. We're going to wear crowns. We're going to sit on thrones and rule here on earth for 1,000 years. That all the promises of things that God had put in his word for Israel and the nations that trust him and feed on his word, the meek shall inherit the earth. That's talking about the millennial reign of Christ and his kings and priests in the earth. You have a people nowadays living like we are kings and priests now, which we are, but the fulfilling of it in its fullness is for an appointed time. We are under governors and tutors even now. So this is why God is talking to us about authority, so that we don't get caught up in trying to rule the world by our own spirit. But we are under authority. Like the man said, I have authority, but I'm a man of authority. He's under authority. So we are under authority. When we don't understand that, we will be like Adam. So we like God. God give you dominion. We don't like the Lord God because God, he gives you a commandment. So we have to now God's way. That means everything has an instruction. Every movement now has to be an articulation of the heart of God. It has to be an expression of the will of God, the heart of God, the way of God. Hallelujah. Every word has to come ordained by the Spirit of life. Hallelujah. That means we got to seek him. We got to spend time saturated in his presence, saturated in his word. This is kingdom. I'm almost through. So they understand unity. And they took possession of something that was in the image of God. God made man in his image. Yet here's legions of demons, many, taking possession of a man. How? Because of unity. So in the body of Christ, there has to be a bringing forth. How do we accomplish that? It has to be through love. God's commandments are all about love. Not about power. It's not about gifts. It's not even about how anointed you are. Don't you know Lucifer was anointed? Look at him now. So it's not about that. It's about who can love the most. How can we love one another? How can we really? Because that's what's going to promote unity. True love, not this love. Listen, if the love that we have doesn't lead us to the truth, then what are we loving? So our first love has to be God. Upward before it points outward. So we focus on loving God, and then our love for one another is the overflow of our relationship with the Father. We have to come back to our first love, and as we begin to love on God and what's in us, that's he's filling our hearts. The Word of God says the Holy Ghost sheds abroad, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. So if he's shedding love in our hearts all the way, filling our hearts with it, then he's causing us to be able to love one another. And when we love one another, then we will humble ourselves and we will see that each person has a level of authority because God's in each one of us. And we have to heed the voice of God in each one of us. But we have to discard the error in each of us. And in that we grow. And in unity, we begin to grow and we take possession. We take possession of the things that the enemy has called his own, that God says is really all mine. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. So it's really all God's, but we cannot take possession without the love of God. We cannot take possession in our own strength. It'll be like the children of Israel. They could not defeat Jericho without instructions. It was their instruction from God that gave them victory. That wall was too big for them. It was too strong for them. But it wasn't too strong for God. So they had instruction. Joshua gave them the word of the Lord. So then they went the next time to try to fight a city called Ai. And they weren't given instruction. They just went. They didn't know there was sin in the camp. They just went and they lost. And they had to come back and regroup and get instruction in order to take possession of the land. So God is all about us possessing our promised land. He's all about us expanding territories, but it has to be through the wisdom of God. It has to be through the word of God, through instruction. The demons, they understand unity. They understand law and order. I'm going to say this. They understand authority is what that really means. They understand that they have bosses, and then their bosses have bosses. They understand this. But at certain levels, you'll see that there are divisions because in the demonic realm, there is territorial fights and clashes. And then there are sometimes where there are wars even among them, just like there is among us sometimes. And this is what we've got to put away in the kingdom of God. We can't be so territorial and clashing with one another that we are like the demons, because we only represent one kingdom. We all represent the same king. So he's not, if our orders are clashing with one another, somebody's not hearing God. That means we have to seek God more intimately, each of us. And it starts with me. Hallelujah. I'll seek him a little bit more. I'll turn down my plate a little more. I'll pray a little bit more, read a little bit more, because I hold myself accountable to a higher standard. Hallelujah. So the renewing of the mind, if we're going to implement kingdom, if we're going to understand God's kingdom, if we're going to be really a part of God's kingdom and know what he wants to see in the earth, because we are in the last days. And certain things are happening because where the kingdom of God is not on the earth, then that's where the kingdom of darkness flourishes. Okay? And now, let me say this. The kingdom of darkness is like supply and demand. It's built on fear and lies. So if you demand lies, the devil will supply. In fact, God will let him. Prime example would be King Ahab. King Ahab, he loved lies. He had all the false prophets and the people that were prophets of Baal. He had all that. And so God wanted to destroy him, and he began to have a heavenly council. And then the council of spirit came to God and said, I'll go and be a lying spirit in the mouth of the prophets, and I will convince Ahab to go to war. And he's going, that's how they killed him. He went to war because he heard a lie and not the instructions of God. Now, the point I'm making is this. He demands lies. He didn't want the truth. He didn't love the truth. He loved the lying. So God gave him a lying spirit through the mouth of the prophets. And there was one prophet that told the truth, and he didn't want to hear it. And that's generally the way it goes. You can have all these prophets saying this, that, and the other, and then one person comes in and say, this is the word of the Lord. Because they're not popular, they don't look like the rest, they ain't part of the clique, we don't want to hear. So people will fall back to the prophets of Baal. But the point I'm trying to make is this. The kingdom of darkness is built on lies. And most lies are just a twisted form of the truth. In order for people to believe it, it's got to be believable. So if he's lying to the saints, he's going to use the Bible. He's going to use God's word to deceive you. The devil's going to use the word of God to deceive you and have you operating in a kingdom but not the kingdom. To the victor goes the spoils. When there's a battle, whoever wins the battle owns whatever the spoils are, the gold and the treasures and all the things that were left behind in the villages. Okay, and if there's people that have survived of the war, they can either kill them or they can make them servants. What happens is sometimes people become servants in the dark kingdom and don't even know it because they're not seeking for the truth. Hence the word says, because they love not the truth, then God turned them over to strong delusion. So there are lies. The kingdom of darkness is flourishing in certain places because of the lie and because of the lack of love of truth. But where there's truth, it's because God is saying, I want my kingdom to be here. I want my kingdom as authority over these people. I want my kingdom as authority over this region, over this land, over this nation. So if you're hearing the sound of truth, if you hear that frequency of God, hallelujah, then he's saying, I want my kingdom, thy will be done, or thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's about righteousness, his will. It's about righteousness. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So it's always connected. So it's really the will of God is about righteousness, not about abundance of things. You can get some stuff. God can give you some stuff. It's all in his riches and glory. He can give you some stuff, but that's not what it's about. He says, seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, and all this other stuff will be added. So if we're seeking the stuff that's going to be added and trying to add kingdom, we're backwards. We have to seek kingdom, and he does the adding. And when God adds, he also multiplies, add in abundance, because look at how big God is. So when he starts adding, it can be in abundance. We just have to keep seeking the kingdom. We have to keep putting his word in us. We have to keep loving one another. I can't stress that enough. If I don't say nothing else today, remember, a renewed mind is a mind that has been taught to love. Love. Indifferences and all, we still love. You know, we're different or we don't agree. I still love you. We see it differently. I still love you. Listen, we got to get to the point where we love people, including our enemies. We've got to love people because, listen, your enemy is your enemy because they lack revelation. In many cases, your enemy is your enemy because they lack revelation. They don't know who you are. But when God begins to reveal who you are, then that can cause love to flourish. When you listen, love is a seed. Love is a seed. The Bible says you shall reap what you sow, that shall you also reap. So sometimes people have a hatred or envy or something evil in their heart. If you love them long enough, then God can change their heart. Now, some people, they're just wicked to the core. They're like they was in the days of Noah. They ain't going to change. Then God will tell you, you know, there's no good in them. Leave them alone. But if there's good in them, then God says, crowd out the bad with the good. You know, we cannot begin to focus on what's wrong with people. We cannot begin to focus on the evil that we see in people. You know, sometimes you got to see but not see. Sometimes you got to know but not know. You got to just love people. Love past what their issues are. Love past that spirit that's trying to use them because they may be indoctrinated by the darkness a little bit. They might be in certain areas of their life, their ground is not conquered for the kingdom of God. So they're being conquered by the kingdoms of darkness and they don't even know it. Or they know it, but they don't know how to come out and they're crying out for help. So you got to love people. If we don't do nothing else right, we definitely got to love. I'm going to leave on this last little bit. In Matthew chapter 25, God talks about, he talks about separating sheep from goats. It wasn't who preached the hardest. It wasn't who had the most money. It wasn't who had the most anointing or the best voice or the best connections or built the biggest ministry or the best, you know, church. Or it wasn't none of those things that he judged it by. He judged it by their action in love, their active love. Okay, so God knows, listen, love is an issue of the heart. So you can have activity and it not be from a true, genuine place of love. But you can't have a true, genuine heart of love and there not be a corresponding action to show it. So at some point, love is going to show itself and make itself known to the hearts because that's how God's kingdom spread. Because the greatest force that God has given us, I believe, is love. I believe our faith is powerful, mountain moving and all that. But love don't never lose. So we've got to get back to the love of God and the renewing of our mind. We have to love God and love God's people. I am done. I believe that is the end of this message. This is Kingdom. This will probably be a part two, but it's still under the renewing of the mind because God wants our minds to be new. He wants our spirits to be new within our minds, that we're not following the spirit and the course of this world. We're not under the power of the prince of this, you know, of the air, but we're under the control or the rulership or the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. So be renewed in the spirit of your mind. I'm done. God bless you. If you have a prayer request, you can dial 1 and someone on this network will pray with you in agreement with your faith. We have to pray in faith. Not only the praying person having faith, but the person requesting prayer. If you believe that we can pray for God to heal you, then you have to believe that God will heal you at our words, at us sending the word because of the authority of God. So it's not just about us praying. It's about you receiving as well. So if you have a prayer request, press 1, and we will let you in. And to God be the praise. I'm done. Be blessed.
Let me touch the hem of his garment, touch the hem of his garment, and I will be made whole. Let me touch the hem of his garment, touch the hem of his garment. Power, more of you in my life.
More power, more of you.